Jimmer Jofsky here, Sam Nation on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Welcome to all listeners. You're in the right place because today I'm in one of those moods. I am. I ended the show Monday. You're off last night. I ended the show Monday talking about that Iraqi asylum seeker. He confessed, this man confessed to raping a 10-year-old boy. The crime happened in the country of Austria, which is in the heart of Europe. Civilized place, Western democracy, sophisticated country. But unfortunately, completely infested top to bottom with crazy liberals who, well, just throw logic completely out the window. Now, this particular, he confessed, mind you, his confession is thrown out on the basis that this man had, as he claimed, his defense attorneys claimed, he had a sexual emergency. And that he did not understand that the boy was saying no. Now, I reflected on this after the program, and I thought, you know, I think what needs to happen is I need to explain to you why this is so. The absurdity of it, of course, is self-evident. But I think an important discussion needs to happen about why this happened and why this could happen here. And it's because, plain and simple, when it comes to Islam, when it comes to persons who are from the Middle East or from wherever, and we have a whole bunch of asylum seekers coming to the country, and there's this big dialogue right now going on. Trump is saying, you know, well, gotta vet these people, gotta make sure that they are like us, that they embrace our values. And people in the media and the cacophony of dissent are screaming back and forth about how bigoted he is. What a Islamophobe. What a racist. And I think that there is an important conversation that needs to take place about how to evaluate Islam, what Islam is really. Okay. What, you know, and what, why there are so many millions of very reasonable, moderate voices who are Muslim. And yet, also, by the same token, why there are quite a few, enough extremists among them who wish to do us harm. You would think that our sense of self-preservation, that our sense of security would dictate that we take certain security measures, take precautions, make decisions that would enhance a safer, a more secure America. And as I was thinking about this, it all came back to the most infuriating moment. Well, there were many, but I'm telling you, this is one of the most infuriating moments of the Obama presidency. Because I think I always like to go back in time. I like to look at the historical context. If we're in a funky spot, I want to go back to where it all started to go wrong. And if you'll remember, going back to all the way back, follow me, to 2009, in June, Obama went to Cairo. Do you remember this? He went to Cairo and he went to deliver his Gettysburg Address. His Ich bin ein Berliner speech. His Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall. He went to Al-Azhar University, which is a very famous old university in the heart of Cairo, and delivered a speech that was broadly themed a partnership with Islam. And I want to look at a few key clips. I'll play them for you. I don't want to mischaracterize any of his words because they are an insight into, I think they explain what has happened subsequent and why this inability, this speech really laid out Obama's agenda, his refusal to identify terrorism as being rooted in radical Islam. And I think it exactly will show us, it gives us an exact insight into how Hillary Clinton is thinking and what we will see more of if this woman is ever elected president. So to set the scene, he gets there, the speech was touted. If you'll remember, I mean, this is going to be the big reset between relations, between America and Muslims across the world. And so, lo and behold, Obama flies halfway around the world, lugging his teleprompter with him. And the teleprompter delivered a fantastic speech, at least according to the media. And here, let's start it off. Cue up clip three. Let's play clip three.
I have known Islam on three continents before coming to the region where it was first revealed. That experience guides my conviction that partnership between America and Islam must be based on what Islam is, not what it isn't. And I consider it part of my responsibility as President of the United States to fight against negative stereotypes of Islam wherever they appear.
Okay, so now let me tell you, he goes to Al-Azhar University, and the Al-Azhar University, by the way, it might as well be the Vatican of the Sunni world. Now, imagine for a minute a president, a sitting U.S. president, traveling halfway across the world and going to the actual Vatican, or going to a synagogue in the heart of Jerusalem, or going to any central place. I mean, traveling to Salt Lake City and sitting down with leaders of the Mormon Church and saying, hey, I'm going to build a partnership with you. America and Mormons are going to be united. America and Catholics are going to be united, and we're going to form a partnership. There's no evidence in 240 years of America, no one has ever done this. Because the Establishment Clause is always, we have a sense that the separation of church and state. I mean, gosh forbid. I mean, don't the Democrats love to talk about that all the time? Separation of church and state. So he goes and delivers these remarks. And let's play clip number one here. Here's where he's continuing to talk about what he sees as his important. Play the clip.
I've come here to Cairo to seek a new beginning between the United States and Muslims around the world, one based on mutual interest and mutual respect, and one based upon the truth that America and Islam are not exclusive and need not be in competition. Instead, they overlap and share common principles, principles of justice and progress, tolerance, and the dignity of all human beings.
Well, that all was fine and dandy, except meanwhile, as he's giving this speech, literally at the same exact time, a prominent young blogger in Egypt, his name is Abdelkarim Suleiman Amer, he was actually a student. He was enrolled at this university, and he's expelled from that university for writing a blog. He supported freedom of religion, freedom of speech, women's rights. I mean, all these, right? Aren't these principles of justice and progress, tolerance, and the dignity of all human beings? And Obama knows this is happening, by the way, but it's an inconvenient narrative to what he wants to push. And this is the theme. This is the same for Obama's done this. Hillary's done this. It doesn't matter what reality is. It's, I have an agenda, I'm going to push it in the face of current events, in the face of facts, in the face of history. So then this poor kid, Amer, is given a 4-year jail term. The government jails him, okay, for insulting the president and insulting Islam. And his own father calls for his execution, by the way, which is an interesting twist in this. And there it is. I mean, and Obama, and it, we just, we, anyway. Principles of justice and progress. Now, I'll tell you, this is the part where it just really goes from bad to worse. Let's do clip number two.
Islamic culture has given us majestic arches and soaring spires, timeless poetry and cherished music, elegant calligraphy, and places of peaceful contemplation. And throughout history, Islam has demonstrated through words and deeds the possibilities of religious tolerance and racial equality.
Well, the irony there, of course, is that there's two concepts here, and we get mixed up all the time. Because, of course, if you dare criticize Islam, you're immediately branded a racist, which has nothing to do with it. People who practice the religion are from all back. I mean, they're virtually in every continent. Variety of races, right? Islam is native to Asia and to the Middle East and to North Africa. But, you know, the irony is that there are in areas that are controlled by Islam and by Islamic countries, countries that are led by leaders who identify with the religion of Islam. Human rights are difficult to find. For example, you know, in Iraq, that's a country. Now, think about this. This is a country that we occupied. We sent our American lives died to free Iraq. To this day, blacks are hugely discriminated against. This is something nobody talks about. Have you ever heard that? In classrooms, they're forced to sit in the back. I mean, this is documented. They don't have the same civil rights. They're not allowed to marry. Black men are not legally able to marry Arab women. I mean, this is the kind of stuff. Yazidis, I mean, this is a minority group that are persecuted. Coptic Christians in Egypt, right? Literally, as Obama is giving this speech, Coptic Christians are being deprived of their property. Their homes are being burned. They're being run out of town, all fully with the participation of the government. And it is a religious war that's being fought against them on the basis of the fact that they are not Muslim. Now, of course, people will say, well, listen, this is just, look, Egypt, and at this time, under President Mubarak, who later was deposed, in the Arab Spring, if you'll remember, are going to say, well, you know, this is just, it's a totalitarian regime. The Saudis are a totalitarian regime. These are horrible countries, but Sam, it has nothing to do with the religion. And here is the test. And this is why it's so important. It's so important to have an honest and frank conversation about what Islam is and what role it plays in the political formation of a world that we don't understand, frankly. You look at this is Hillary all the time. Oh, there's an Islamophobe, racist. And you and I know, because we know that when they start to use those kind of words, they're looking to just shut down the dialogue. They want to shut down the conversation. They don't want to have a conversation based on the merits. And I'll tell you, I think what it requires is maybe I'll just tell you briefly here. I mean, you got to understand what Islam is and what it isn't. Yes, it's a religion, and the Quran, which is it's the holy text of Islam, is a book that contains revelations that the Prophet Muhammad wrote over the course of 40 years. And it's very interesting because people will tell you that the Quran is a book of peace. And it is, if that's what you choose to make out of it. And millions of Muslims absolutely do that. I talked to a friend about this. And I said, I'm going to read you some of these crazy passages. You tell me what you think. And I'm going to do that for you in the next segment. I'm going to read some passages from the Quran. And you can decide what you think about them. But I read them to my friend, whom I deeply respect, this man. And he said to me, Sam, this is, yeah, you got, it's context. You've got to use your brain. You got to use your brain. You can't be a crazy person. You can't read that and think it's literal. And I thought, yeah, well, of course. And that's the difference. for millions of normal, law-abiding, non-radicalized Muslims. They take from the Quran the peaceful passages, the good stuff, the stuff that guides them toward good and toward virtue, and they leave behind the crazy. But this religion has enough crazy that it has the potential of radicalizing people that are in our midst that show otherwise no signs of being radicalized, and it can trigger and it can happen. It can happen. And I have a personal story about it. I may share it as well as we get through this hour. But when we come back, I want to get through some of these passages. I want you to understand why it shapes the policies of these states in the Middle East and why it's important that we call it what it is. Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790, KABC. Back after this.
We are going to make our country great again.
This is Sweet James Bergener. I listen to Sam Nation.
Bloomy is sitting in his mansion dreaming up about the next soda ban, and across the street, his next door neighbor is pulling fingernails off of people. This, ladies and gentlemen, is liberalism for you. Sam Rojofsky here, Sam Nation Talk Radio 790 KABC, talking about honesty a little bit, how our politicians can't use the word radical Islam. And I want to explain why and what the disastrous consequences of it are. Let me tell you, when people say that the Quran is all about peace and all about love and all about unicorns flying through the air and everybody loving each other, that is simply not true. The reality is that in the Quran, there's a lot of bad stuff. And that it's up to individual people who look up to it as a holy text to decide whether or not they're going to take it seriously. And yeah, there's a small contingent of people that take stuff in the Quran seriously, or are later radicalized by crazy preachers who take the stuff seriously. And let me give you some examples. There's one verse in the Quran. They're divided up into surahs and verses. So there's one verse that says, "Believers, take neither Jews nor Christians for your friends." That's not good. I mean, Obama earlier, I told you in the speech, he said it's Christianity and Islam. I mean, we're just kumbaya. Everything's great. You know, we have so much in common. It's crazy. Another one, "When the sacred months are over, slay the idolaters," right? The people who worship other gods. "Wherever you find them, arrest them, besiege them, and lie in ambush everywhere for them. Kill them wherever you overtake them and expel them." I mean, this is horrible, violent stuff. I don't mean to belabor the point. You wonder about suicide bombers, right? You wonder about that. They go, "Oh, those are just crazy people. They've bastardized a religion. I mean, it's nothing to do with the religion." Well, how about this one? "And if you are killed in the cause of Allah or die, then forgiveness from Allah and mercy are better than whatever they accumulate in this world." So the promises of some great treasure in heaven, you know, is going to absolve you of all your sins. And I remember I said this after the Pulse shooting. You remember the Pulse shooting? Ammar Mateen goes and horrible. And the media immediately rushes to say, "Oh, you know, this guy was just a frustrated, you know, closeted gay guy." And you heard it here on this program. I said, it's nonsense. I know a lot of Mormons who are closeted gay, and they don't go run and shoot and kill people. The religion had something to do with this. And the causal connection is that this guy, again, this is my opinion, at some point, one of the factors was that he decided he's going to make things right with the guy upstairs. That he was tormented, sure. That he was living a life of sin. He had to make things right. You know, he went to that crazy preacher in Tampa. Remember the story? He got radicalized. But it was, the religion plays a role in it. And we have to recognize this because our immigration policy has to take into account that people that are coming that have this religion and are coming from areas where the religion is, might I say, a little more orthodox than it is here. Those people could potentially harm us. And it's our politicians who have their heads in the sand of this. They're to blame for what happens. I'm talking about this speech that Obama gave at the start of his term. It's a long time ago. I get it. It's a long time ago. But it lays out his ignorance. And that ignorance has continued with Hillary. Play clip number 4. This is exactly it.
Islam has a proud tradition of tolerance.
No, it doesn't.
We see it in the history of Andalusia and Cordoba.
Oh, nice pronunciation.
During the Inquisition. I saw it firsthand as a child in Indonesia, where devout Christians worshiped freely in an overwhelmingly Muslim country. That is the spirit we need today. People in every country should be free to choose and live their faith based upon the persuasion of the mind and the heart and the soul.
And so, When I look at a verse that says, believers take neither Jews nor Christians for your friends and besiege and slay the idolaters, okay? That does not comport. It just does not compute. And there are people who take Islam literally. They are not, as Obama says, people who bastardize or who pervert the religion, but rather people who look at it from a place of orthodoxy. And it is something we need to talk about and consider. So as usual, I'm the one to do it. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KABC.
And now, ladies and gentlemen,
Now, ladies and gentlemen, on the show tonight is Sam Rogowski. Now, what Sam is the leading word in correct thinking, as opposed to Ed, which is drunk thinking. And that's usually where the left ends up, on the wrong side of right.
Talk Radio 790
KABC.
We are back, Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KABC, fearlessly bringing you the truth, no matter how uncomfortable it may be. So, theme here, I'm mystified. I always find that we're a country founded on free speech. That's it. We fought a war of independence for it. We don't always have to agree, but the minute that a particular topic becomes taboo, becomes a no-go zone, becomes inappropriate to talk about, Sam, you can't say that. We really need to take pause and take stock and really re-examine why. Why not? Because life is full of uncomfortable truths. And you know this, I'll tell you, I bring almost everything back to being a parent. Because as a parent, you know, there are lots of uncomfortable things that are important to talk to your kid about. Missy, you know, right? And just because it's uncomfortable doesn't mean you don't bring it up. In fact, some of the most uncomfortable stuff with kids is exactly the kind of stuff you ought to be bringing up. And the parents that don't, well, you got problems. Now, this isn't a question of parenting. We're all adults, and it's a conversation that we should have amongst one another. And I absolutely detest when Hillary Clinton calls me, as a conservative, dismisses me as a racist and a nincompoop and, Islamophobe, bigot, puts me in that basket of deplorables and throws me out with the trash. And I'm going to tell you, here it is, and I one last little clip I want to play from Obama's great apology speech that he delivered in Cairo. I played other clips earlier in the in the program, and I'm playing it because it really does map out the policies of our government in the last 8 years and why it led us down a funny road. But here's a great example of Obama hypocrisy. And play clip number 5, please.
It is important for Western countries to avoid impeding Muslim citizens from practicing religion as they see fit. For instance, by dictating what clothes a Muslim woman should wear. We can't disguise hostility towards any religion behind the pretense of liberalism.
What? No, I'm fine. I mean, look, I get it. I mean, people are free to practice their religion any way that they see fit. But what's good for the goose has to be good for the gander. And this is a president. This is a president who what? Says every Christian baker needs to bake a, you know, cake for gay couples. Now, look, fine. If that's the law of the land, then what's good for Christians has to be good for Muslims. I'm looking at this from a fairness perspective. In America, I always say this. You've heard it. If you listen to me, you know that this is a guiding principle of mine. Life isn't fair, but the rules need to be. It's why Hillary Clinton belongs in jail. Because any other person who did what she did would be there. Would certainly have been tried, maybe acquitted, but would have been tried. And look at, I'm telling you, now I don't agree with that. I'm as liberal as they come when it comes to social issues. Look, but I also believe that people have to freely exercise their religion. So I agree with Obama 100%. But he's created, and this is his mentality, a special place, a protected class for Islam that is separate from how he treats other religions. Think about the Catholic hospitals that are forced to perform abortions and forced to... That was Obama's big thing. He took it all the way to court. Wanted to force Catholic hospitals to provide abortions, provide contraceptives. Okay? And then he went off and attacked a bunch of kooky Christians for clinging to their guns and to their Bibles. Remember that? You can't have it both ways. And this mentality has now we can't talk about terrorism. We can't talk about radical Islam. We can't talk about any of it because our own president has put this issue in a special place that exists completely separately from the rest of our political dialogue. And it's a rotten shame. It's unhealthy. And Hillary is right behind him on this. And I'm telling you, something's got to give or it will bring disaster upon us. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KBC.
When you're on a this is Sweet James Bergener. I listen to Sam Nation.
Well, speaking of creepy clowns, I'm pretty sure you know when Hillary was intimidating some of these Bill Clinton sex abuse victims, she probably sent around a creepy clown or two.
Talk radio. 790 KABC.
Sam Rogowski here. After today's show, I may lose the only sponsor I have. Poor Sweet James. By the way, look, if, traffic again. It's supposed to rain again in 2 days. We barely dried up all the craziness out on the roads. Hopefully everyone stays safe. But if you have some absolutely insane driver that decides to play, pretend to be race car driving out there in the rain and slams into you. Hopefully not. But if that happens, you know who to call. Attorney James Bergener. He's the guy that that everybody trusts. You know, he even adjusters, insurance adjusters. They know that he's so tough on them that when they have friends and family, he is the one that they want representing them. So his friends call him Sweet James, and it's because he's a good guy and he's trustworthy and honest and one heck of a champion, and that's who you want in your corner. So what do you do? How do you reach him? It's easy. You can give him a call, 1-800-881-2021, 1-800-881-2021, or go to sweetjames.com. All right, Sam Nation here, Talk Radio 790 KABC, and talking about radical Islamic terrorism. There's probably a reason why a lot of people don't want to talk about it. It's an uncomfortable topic. And I was explaining earlier in last segment how it's just been completely wiped out by our politicians who don't want to bring it up. And I'm going to go to my stack of stuff here. You remember the Podesta emails? WikiLeaks, you know, they hacked into Podesta's email. And this guy's just knee deep in everything. He's the chairman of the Clinton campaign. So he's right in the center of it. Well, you remember there was a shooting, right? There was the Saeed Farouk. You remember this shooting in San Bernardino? And this email that went back and forth, NBC News. Now, this is some guy named Christopher Hayes. I don't know who he is, but somebody inside the Clinton camp. And he writes, NBC News now reporting a U.S. citizen named Saeed Farouk believed to be one of the people involved in the shooting. Well, innocuous enough. I mean, just a news blast that he's sending up the chain through the Hillary Clinton campaign. Oh, he's a journalist. Okay, and then it gets forwarded by Matt Ortega, and he's the guy inside the Clinton campaign. All right, I'm not very proficient at reading hacked emails. You'll have to forgive me. But at any rate, do you know what Podesta responded? Podesta responds. Better if a guy named Saeed Farouk was reporting that a guy named Christopher Hayes was the shooter. Now, here's the problem, okay? I believe in reality, and I want my politicians, I want the people that represent me to live in Realville. I don't care. This is a major tell. They are more concerned with the narrative, right, than they are with the actual cause. Look, our government, if they are to protect us and are to look out for us, don't they need to kind of, I don't know, shoot? Wonder what's going on here. I wonder what their motivations are. I wonder what's going on. They still haven't called this a radical Islamic terrorist act of terrorism. They refuse to say it. But it's important to know why. Hey, maybe there was something in this person's profile that would make, because his wife emigrated here, remember? Maybe there's something in her profile that is a red flag. Maybe that's something we could identify next time someone comes over. You know, it blows my mind. It reminds me of, you know, the Fort Bragg shooting. Where was the shooting in Fort Hood? I mean, the first thing Clinton said is she called it workplace violence. And she did the same in San Bernardino. Said, hey, it's just workplace violence. And moves the conversation to gun control. Those may be issues that are relevant to solving the problem. I may disagree in substance, but I don't disagree in evaluating factors. But I'm certainly not somebody who's just going to throw out all reason and want to look completely, I mean, over something. And the Podesta email shows that. So it's interesting. I mean, you can see, that was the same thing with Orlando. I mean, the first thing Hillary Clinton is doing is talking about gun violence, more gun control. And her quote after Orlando was, it's essential. We stop terrorists from getting the tools they need to carry out the attacks. Like mean assault weapons. Well, I'll tell you what's essential. Politicians have got a brain. How about that? Could we get that? All right, back after this. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KABC.
In this present crisis, government is the solution to our problem. Government is the problem, and Sam Nation is a solution. Of course, you need jelly beans for that.
Talk Radio 790.
KABC.
Sam Joe Joffsky, Sam Nation Talk Radio 790 KBC, talking about radical Islam, terrorism, and perhaps how it all ties into keeping America safe vis-a-vis our immigration policy. It's a big debate here in this election, immigration being, I think, probably the number one issue that a lot of voters out there are concerned with. And it may be, folks, it may be the issue that decides this election. Now, there's a great quote from a journalist that wrote on this topic, and I'm going to share it with you because you know his name's Robert Fulford. You know when it comes to these things, he says we care more about multicultural propriety than we care about the welfare of individual human beings. And I'll translate that for you. What he's saying is we care more about having a beautiful, great multicultural society where we all sing kumbaya and love each other, that we're willing to maybe give up even our own security and our own safety because we throw reason out the door and we're not able to look at risk factors because they might be offensive or they might go against our ideology. And that's Hillary. She's got this as her ideology. She's had this ideology from the beginning of time. This is something that goes back to her time before even Little Rock, in her time in Yale. She's a progressive. It's programmed in her. Multiculturalism, kumbaya. And so, it's a problem because there has to be a yes, this is a good thing, but what happens when things go wrong? I still remember the day I got a call. My mom's company, they had a driver. He lived in Irvine. He's a really good guy. His name was Mo. And this is actually a crazy story. I don't share it very often. One day, I remember this vividly. One day in 2002, Mo drove to the airport, went to LAX, brought a gun, and opened fire at the LL counter. He shot two people. And I knew him. Now, I have to tell you, I know a lot about it. I know more about it than what's been reported in the news. It's complicated, guys. This is really complicated. There are no easy answers. But I'm telling you, for one, it was right during the whole amnesty thing. You know, it turned out at the end, he came from Egypt, which brings it right back to this Cairo speech. He came from Egypt. Turned out he was part of a radical group. Now they found that when nobody had any idea. And we found that. And it was just overlooked in his application for a visa. Nobody looked at. No, just they took him for his word. So we got, you know, what matters more? Multiculturalism? This dream, this ideal? Or those two people that died that day. And I'm telling you, it's an important question to ask ourselves. I'll tell you, yeah, heavy stuff. All right, well, please send me an email. Tell me what you think. Sam@samnationshow.com. I look forward to hearing from you. We're off tomorrow. Sam@samnation.com. Sorry. Ha, that's right. Now, we're off tomorrow. Go, Kings, go. Tune in for the game, and we'll be back on Friday to talk about Halloween and how the liberals are messing it up. Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KABC.
Choosy Moms, choose Talk Radio, 790 KABC.